There has been talk recently about banning smartphones during school hours, much to the dismay of many youngsters. It got me thinking back to the days before mobile phones and iPads were standard break time entertainment. Whatever did we do to amuse ourselves before life revolved around the internet? Well, the answer is that we made up our own games and played with incredibly low-tech gadgets, if any at all. Our playtime devices included, at best, a handful of marbles, a piece of elastic, a skipping rope, or maybe a yo-yo, if you were lucky. Our games might not have been high-tech, but at least they were interactive, which meant you had to involve your friends and be sociable. Plus, our breakdown pursuits were far from sedentary, as we actually had to get off our backsides to play them. In the 1970s, certain games became fashionable, such as Clapping to Rhymes, which my friend Lisa and I would play. This essentially involved us clapping our hands together in various sequences whilst reciting rather ludicrous rhymes, including the unforgettable CC, my darling, I cannot marry you, my sister's got the flu, chickenpox and measles too. All this game really achieved was red hands and being slightly crazed for the rest of the day by the tune that accompanied the rhyme. Cat's Cradle was another simple game, using only a long continuous piece of string looped over the fingers. It was played with two players making a sequence of string figures, each in turn altering the figure made by the previous player. There was much frustration when the string got into knots, which, to be fair, it did most of the time. Skipping was also popular at break times. I could skip with a rope solo, but couldn't do anything fancy. It really was something the taller, sporty girls excelled in. They played with a very long skipping rope, or two for the cockier kids, swung by a person at each end, while one or two children jumped over the rope simultaneously. Arguments always broke out when one person tripped up, usually me. Some games, such as marbles, required a bit of skill or bluff rather than energy. We drew a circle on the concrete, placed a number of marbles in the centre, and then used a shooter marble, bigger than the others, which was flicked in an attempt to knock the other marbles out of the ring. Those you knocked out, you kept. Kids collected them, swapped them, and boasted about them. I have to confess, I still don't entirely get the rules of marbles or whether we were playing it correctly. But I duly went along with each game, usually ending up losing my marbles, physically, not metaphorically. Yo-yoing was another seemingly simple thing I failed to master. Even the most basic of moves evaded me, let alone tackling tricks including walk the dog, which involved letting the yo-yo roll across the floor before pulling it back to your hand. Frustrating because, as with many 70s games, yo-yos were cheap and I routinely got one in my Christmas stocking. I do, however, have a real fondness for hopscotch. The game dates back to Roman times, but was particularly popular in the 70s, mainly because it was cheap to draw out a hopscotch court with a piece of chalk. The object was to toss a stone into numbered squares set out in a pattern where you hopped on the single ones and jumped on the other side-by-side squares to retrieve the stone. I was good at the hopping bit, but not so hot at throwing on target. Leapfrog was a particularly energetic, potentially hazardous game where the first participant bent over, hands on knees, while the next player vaulted over the top of them. There was always one over-enthusiastic child who took a flying leap at speed, resulting in nasty bumps and bruises. On the injury theme, we also played tag, which saw one or two players chasing the others in an attempt to tag them, either on the playing fields or school gym. It all went horribly wrong one day when I was being chased up the gym wall bars, became too competitive and took a flying leap from 20 feet up rather than be caught. This resulted in me missing the crash mat entirely and being carted off to hospital with a severely fractured arm. My friends have never forgotten the incident, and the PE teacher, who I was recently reunited with, is permanently traumatised. "Worst day of my teaching career," he recalled.